Elders today. Let's think about for a moment our missionaries. Let's see, the Lockharts. Jeremy, I pray for you daily, my brother, and Esther. And then Jed and Gloria. These are missionaries out of our church. Jed and Gloria going to Brazil. And then we have the Shrocks in Brazil. And then we have the Gabe Ibans that are in Ponape, along with our daughter over there, daughter and son-in-law. And then the Boylstons both have health. You know, a lot of times we focus on John and his health issues, but Krista, you're not well either. So we need to think of you, pray for you. Then we have the Maiettas in Italy. And now, who have I left out? Did he get them all, Jeremy? Yeah, I know I have a photographic mind, but it ran out of film so many years ago that I don't know if I get everybody or not. Randy, would you open in prayer and pray for these missionaries? Amen. Thank you. Let's turn to our Bibles. We're going to be on a lot of places in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. The Lord has led me to talk about Peter this morning. I know he was a Baptist. He just always would say the wrong things at the wrong, at the right time, wrong time. Somebody told me one time, they said, we'll know Peter when we get to heaven because his foot will be in his mouth. I think probably a lot of us are going to be that way when we get to glory. But start with me. I want to deal first with his fall. And then I want to deal with some steps where he recovered. Hallelujah for that. We don't leave him where he fell. But I want you to know there's, I think of the, he illustrates three different ways that we can fall. We can fall while serving. That seems strange. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew and turn with me to the 10th chapter, if you will, please, in Matthew chapter 10. Important because here we see him, one of the disciples, and here we see him serving. Notice, if you will, matter of fact, any list of the disciples in the Gospels, guess who is number one? Look at it. And now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, which is called Peter. I think of Simon, that to me illustrates his old nature, everything that he was. Peter's everything that God wanted to make him through Jesus Christ. Well, serving. Here, it is so easy. I think we take for granted if we're serving, we're not going to fall. We're okay with God. You can be serving and certainly not be okay with God. Be careful that our focus does not center on our service, but on the one we serve. Be careful of that. You can never make up in doing what you lack in being. Let me say that to you again. You can never make up in doing what you lack in being. Keep that in mind. A lot of times we say, well, we're serving God, we're doing this, we're singing in the choir, we're teaching, we're fill in the blanks. Be careful. That's the first way. Secondly, I use the word suddenly. Suddenly. Turn with you, still in Matthew, but go over there to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Again, I told you we're going to be in many passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People not only fall while serving, but how easy it is to do it suddenly. look with me in Matthew chapter 16, and look with me in verse 16. This is one of the greatest things Peter ever said about the Lord. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." What a statement. But I draw your attention here that you come over here and look with me, if you will, please, in verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Underline the word rebuke. It's the same word that is used when our Lord rebuked a demon. Wow. In other words, oftentimes we act like the devil. And he acted like the devil. Just a few verses, about seven verses before that, he said the greatest thing he could ever say about Christ. And here he says the worst thing he could ever say. Peter here took him and began to rebuke and saying, "Be far from thee, Lord, thou shalt not be into thee. Lord, this shall not be." And then look at the next verse, verse 23. But he turned and he said unto Peter, "Get behind me," what? Wow. Just about seven verses from the time he made that tremendous statement. And suddenly, he sins. "Get behind me, Satan." So sin, backsliding can be, well, serving. It can be very sudden. And thirdly, oftentimes it comes in steps. It comes in steps. Think with me here. By the way, before I get to that, look here after our Lord makes the statement in verse 23. He gets to the cross in verse 24. Look at it. Don't miss it in chapter 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." There's no solution for backsliding for sin without the cross. But let me say this. The cross on the hill of Golgotha must become the cross in the heart of every Christian. We must die to self. We must die to our own wills. But the third one, not only while serving, certainly he was serving, be top of the list of the disciples, came suddenly, seven verses after he makes that tremendous statement, he's sinning, but it comes in steps. Look with me in Matthew chapter 26. Again, we're in that same book there in chapter 26. And look with me, if you will, please, in verse 29. Interesting here. I think I got the right verse. Excuse me, just a moment. What did I do? Write the wrong one. Did you ever do that? 26. Didn't write the verse down. Oh, I'll get it here. Am I in the right chapter? I'm looking for the... verse 33. I'm sorry. Verse 33. But let's read verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Then look, verse 33. I got to write the verse down. The first step in backsliding always begins with the flesh. That's where it begins. Look here in verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will" what? Would you underline that word? "Never be offended." Wow. That's the flesh. That's pride. Let me make sure we understand. Any sin that anybody can commit, everybody can commit. I've heard people say, "Boy, what he did, I'd never do that." It's only by the grace of God you would never, ever do that. May we keep that thought in mind. And keep in mind, this, This is after he makes the statement just a few verses after the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. I often think when we have the Lord's Supper, I have to be sure to check my own heart to make sure that I'm right, because it's very key. A blessed event, the Lord's Supper. We had it recently, and I thank the Lord for it on our Easter Sunday at 9 in the morning here. Oh, Lord, help us, God. Help us, Lord. I'll never do that thing he did. Only by the grace of God. Let me say to us all, we need to learn to distrust ourselves. No confidence in me. No confidence can be found in you. So it begins here in steps. The first step is always the flesh. Another step in his life is a fire. Is a fire. Think with me, if you will, please, and turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Now, you're going from Matthew to Luke, but Luke chapter 22, and look over there, if you will, please, in chapter 22 and verse 45, and look there with me. I think I keep writing the wrong verse. You ever do this? Wrote the wrong verse again down. Chapter 22. Well, anyway, the fire. Anybody can find where he was with the disciples at the fire. Yes, it's okay. But you remember when he warmed himself at the fire? Wow. He came to the fire. Let me say this to you. It's dangerous to get too comfortable in the world's fire. He sat with the enemies. I forgot to write the verse down. Do you ever do that? The older I get, the more it's happening. It begins with the flesh. What? 22:55? Yes, that's got to be. Yes. That's, yes, those two go together. Then look there in verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire there. Thank you, Ken. I wrote it down, but I wrote it in the wrong place. Think with me. He sat by the fire. The fire of the enemy. A lot of times we don't feel comfortable in our Christianity. We need some of the world. God help us. Think with me. Not only do we find himself there at the fire, but we find him in that same chapter. Look at verse 54. Now, we looked at the fire in verse 55, but go back to verse 54. We find him, and this is the third step. I believe the flesh always takes over, and then we find him by the fire. Getting closer to the world means farther from Christ. But I see here he followed. Will you knit these words? Look at verse 54, last two words, but let's read the whole verse. Then took they him and led him and brought him to the high priest. And notice this, Peter what? Followed him how? Far off. I don't know how far he followed him afar off, but I do know this, how easy it is to just get out of fellowship with God and begin to take him for granted and walk afar off. Walk afar off. He followed afar off. So here we see you can backslide while serving. Suddenly it can come on, just a few verses. One verse he's praising God, and thou art Christ, the Son of God. Seven verses later, he's rebuking the Lord. And then we find it in steps in Peter's life, beginning with pride, the flesh, and then the fire. He decided to find comfort in things that he should never found comfort in, and then he certainly followed afar off. Someone said, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? It wasn't God. We live in a busy world. Someone defined busy as being under Satan's yoke. It's a good word. We get so busy that we forget our devotions, We forget our prayer time. You name it, we forget it. God help us. Because the farther we get, by the way, there's no neutrality in the Christian life. You're either going to get close to Him or you're going to get closer, farther away from Him. And we need to be careful. But think with me. As we saw while serving, suddenly, steps, in this case, three steps, but there are steps in the fall. But think of his recovery. I want you to, you're in Luke, so look there in Luke 22 again. Look there in verse 6. First is a passionate look. The very first thing I see in this recovery is a passionate look. Here is Peter after he walked afar off, verse 54, after he sat down with a fire in verse 55. Look there in verse 61 and verse 62. And the Lord turned and he looked upon Peter. Now let me stop here. I don't believe it was a glance. I don't believe it was that at all. I don't believe it was a glare. You ever glare at your children when they're acting up? Somebody glare at you when you're doing something wrong or you're glaring at them. No, it's not a glance. It's not a glare. It's a look of grace. I don't know this, but I do know that Peter needed three things in his life at this time that I need today and every day. Number one, a sense of the presence of God. When you backslide, you no longer have a sense of the presence of God. He's there, but you don't sense that presence. And secondly, the power of God. And thirdly, the purpose of God upon my life. Do you ever have things go wrong in your life and things are happening and you don't understand them and you keep saying, Lord, what's the reason for this? Do you ever do that? May I suggest to you, don't do that anymore. For when it's not everything that happens in my life has a what? Purpose. When we ask for the reason, we're focusing on ourselves. But we're asking to know, when we look at the purpose, we're looking at the Savior. I need those three things every day. I need the presence of God. I get up, first thing I do is go someplace in a room I have, my prayer room, and spend time because I got to sense the presence of God. If I don't have the presence of God, how can I have the power of God? There are many decisions you have to make every day, and you want that power to make them right. And you want the purpose. You focus on the reason. Did you ever hear of discouragement? Depression? You focus on the reason. Lord, how come this happened to me? Why am I going through this? Well, I've been there. How many been there? Everyone could raise their hand. I remember when our handicapped daughter was born and her sister died and left with handicaps, and I thought maybe she'll make some progress, and I kept in my study one day and I said, Lord, this isn't fair. And then when she had, at 4 years of age, that seizure. Seizures are what, 5-10 minutes? Hers was 3.5 hours. Literally did her brain in and never, ever, hardly recovered from it. We saw her this last weekend, a few days ago. She's going to be 50 in August. And she calls me boo-boo. Doesn't that fit? Can't pronounce my name. Went to Charleston, Maryland, and I to see her. We had to come to the place, look, Lord, we got to quit focusing on the reason because, Lord, that causes discouragement. It causes depression. We focus on the purpose. God had a reason. I can't tell you the number of people God's lives have been touched by Christina Stevens. And some have been saved because of her. So, a passionate look. Peter, I still love you. That's a sense in the presence. Peter, you don't know it right now, but you're going to preach the greatest message on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to give you the power to do so through the Holy Spirit. And Peter, I have a purpose of everything I've allowed you to do. To be, make you conformable to his image. You've heard me say this more once in a Sunday school. There are no such thing as mature Christians, only maturing Christians. That word mature has the idea of I already arrived. I have not arrived, and neither have you. We're maturing. And God will bring those things into our life. A passionate look. It is followed here. Look at it. And how do I know it was not a glare? It was not a glance. It was grace. Look at verse 62. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. I think he poured his heart out. That look of the Lord just did something to him. It melted his heart. There have been times in my life, I'm sure in your life, where probably you didn't have words to say. You just wept. You just poured out your heart. He went out and he wept bitterly. Probably thinking, Lord, how could I have ever denied you? That's the first step, a passionate look. You'll never, ever get things right with God until you sense his presence, his power to overcome your sins and his purpose in your life. Go to Mark 16, next book. Mark 16, the next one is a personal message. A personal message. That's in Mark chapter 16. I've underlined this in my own thoughts and mind as I've looked at this. And look with me in verse 7. Let's back up a moment here. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, and have brought sweet spices. And look at verse 3. And he said unto them, verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very, very large. And by the way, the word, when they looked, is a word which means they looked up, the stone was rolled away. That would have been a difficult thing. The stone was rolled up away from the tomb. And entered into the sepulchre, verse 5, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And they said to him, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But look at verse 7. But go your way, tell his disciples, and what? Peter. That's interesting to me. That's some of the sweetest words I think could be said about Peter. Now, why did he single out Peter? Simply because Peter had felt he had lost his right to be a disciple. No longer could he even refer to himself as a disciple. And so a message, a personal message, oh, by the way, not just tell the disciples, but make sure you say something to Peter. A message. Why did he single him out? Because he thought he had lost his right to be a disciple. Let me say this. I've often hear people say, thank God for the God of another chance. Let me say to us all today, thank God for another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance. Not just a second chance. Thank the Lord for that. I suppose if we would take Peter today before some church, they'd want to discipline him. Hey, this guy's got to go. I think at times, I hope it comes in the right context of my thinking here, but often we shoot our wounded. We just cast them aside. I'm glad Peter was not cast aside. Thank the Lord God for his divine sovereignty and grace. Peter, you still can be used. And no matter what I've done or you've done in our Christian life, can I say it reverently, dogmatically, we still can be used. no matter what the circumstances. It may not be used in the same capacity. That's up to God. But I'm glad you don't have to be a has-been. It was not only a passionate look, but a personal message. Be sure to go and be sure you tell Peter. Thirdly, go back to Luke chapter 23 or 24. Luke, go forward, that is, the chapter 24, because we find here, we not only see in this chapter, we not only see a passionate look and a personal message, but there was a private meeting. Luke 24, and look there, and verse 32, there were also two others, malefactors. Am I in the right chapter again? I'm in chapter 24. I'm not in 23. Just stay with me. Verse 32. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Those are the two on the road to Emmaus. And they, and they saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Would you look at verse 34? And what? Had appeared to who? Simon. A private meeting. That's the thought here. There was not only a passionate look, a personal message, but there was a private meeting. The scripture doesn't tell us when it took place. It doesn't tell us when it was said. I think about that. He privately, personally, met with Peter. And when we are not right with God, he is willing to privately, personally, passionately, wanting to meet with us. We don't know when. We don't know what was said. But we need a private meeting. I say this not just when we're backslidden, but before we are, so we don't get backslidden. We need private meetings with God. More than once, I don't unable to do it anymore, but when I was in Charleston, I used to walk 5, 6, 7 miles a day, 5 days a week, that is. And there are times, those private times, and I have to sit when I'm doing my private time. But I remember more than once when I met with him in those private times, people would be beeping their horns at me. I had a guy say to me, hey, preacher, don't you recognize when people's driving by? Not in my walk. It's a private meeting between he and me. And I remember more than once, I thought my heart was right with the Lord, and it wasn't. Have you ever been there? I began to weep, and I said, Lord, forgive me. Now, are you ready for this? I wasn't too sure what it was they needed to be forgiven of, but my heart was cold. I thought of Peter's heart there by that fire. At one moment, there's boldness. At the next moment, there's coldness. If we're not careful, our boldness can turn into coldness. And I felt he was afar off from me, but I had one that moved, and I needed the warmth of his presence, of his power, and of his purpose in my life. A private meeting, a personal message, a passionate look. Now go to chapter 21 of John. Yeah, you can go to chapter 31 of John, but it's not there. Go to chapter 21 of John's Gospel. The last thought here is, I think here today, we not only see that passionate look. I need that every day, by the way. Do you? I just got to have that. That personal message, the Holy Spirit brings those personal messages as you read your Bible. Do you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden something jumps out at you? You say, boy, you know, I never saw that before. That's because you didn't need it before like you need it right now. That's his personal message. in a private meeting and personal message and passionate. But here we find three painful reminders. As our Lord is here, let's look at chapter 21 for a few moments this morning. And verse 1, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On the wise showed he himself. And if you read the list here, I think there's seven. Not all of them are in this list. But would you notice verse 2? They were there were together. Who's the first one? Simon Peter. Isn't that interesting? Simon Peter. Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. And then I don't know why God did this. And two other of his disciples. You ever think about that? The average, you wonder why, how come, Lord, you didn't put my name down? You did get those other guys. You didn't put my name down there. I want some recognition. Isn't that the way we humans think? Well, what'd you do, Lord? Forget my name? No, he hadn't forgotten your name. Don't know who those other two were. It makes no difference except to the ones who probably wish their names were mentioned. But also in this, I think I'd rather not have my name mentioned because I see something here. It's a painful reminder of three things here in this text. Number one, particularly of Peter's calling. Look there, if you will. Since Simon Peter said unto them, good old Simon, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught what? What'd they catch? Isn't that interesting, right? Luke 5, verse 3 to 7. I won't take time to turn there. Do you remember when God called Peter? What was he doing? They were mending up. They had been fishing all night, and they caught what? Nothing. If you go to Luke 5, it won't take time because the time is running out. Verses 3 to 5, caught nothing. Here again, they caught nothing. Then the Lord over there, as he did here, he said, just launch out, and they filled the ship that was about ready to sink. That's when Peter was called. Peter, I want to say this to you. Peter's a fisherman. Is there anything wrong with fishing? But get this, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it takes the place of the best thing. And God had called him to be fishers of men. Peter, you're forgetting your call. I got to remind you a little bit of your call. It's okay to go fishing. But let remind you, Peter, you have a new calling. You're no longer to be catch fish, but you're to catch souls. A reminder of his calling. And every one of us is called into some sense of the way in the ministry of some kind. Whatever God wants you to do. I often kid with Dr. Scovel, how come you never have me go up and sing? He said, because we don't want to split the church. Half would leave because they couldn't stand the singing. The other half would stay because they felt sorry for it. No. But I don't have that gift. Don't have that talent. How many are like John Stevens in that area? The rest of you are not admitting it that have that problem. Your calling. I don't know, you know, as you know, pastored 40 years in three different churches and spent the last 10, going on 11 years doing interns. We've done 11 of them. Somebody said the other day, said, you got any prospects? I said, I don't have any prospects. Those comes kind of suddenly. Somebody has to quit. Somebody has to die. That's up to God. We'll go where God wants. Last time was in Rhode Island. I was there for several weeks there, and that's not a good place to be in my book. I don't care for Rhode Island. You blink your eye, you're in Massachusetts or Connecticut. And I don't care for it. but I'll go where God wants me. And the same with all of us. He had to remind him, whoa, Peter! It's okay to go fishing, but let's not forget while we're here on this planet. It's okay to do the things we do, but don't forget your calling, folks. Serve the Lord. We've all been called to do that. Secondly, it's interesting if you go to verse 9. Here's another painful reminder. And as soon as, I don't think I better take time to read all those verses. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a what? Fire of coals. Right, John 18, verse 18. Remember, I talked about it a few moments, was the fire coals that Peter was warming himself. He's, Peter, I just want to remind you of your, I want to remind you of the day of the coals of fire. You're careful, Peter. Suddenly, or by steps, or while serving you, you'll backslide. I don't know about you, but I fear every day that I'll do that. I don't want to backslide. I don't want to. I just don't trust John Stevens. I hope you don't trust yourself. It was coal fires. And I think Peter immediately thought the day he denied Christ. Sometimes, you know, I'm glad my sins are under the blood, aren't you? Hello? Aren't you glad? But sometimes I'm thankful for the reminders. I know, I think those of us who are in our 70s and 80s, I'm telling this old man, he's 90 and I've got two more years for I'll be 80. I've told you're really old when you get 80, Harvey. So you're old. I don't know that. But I want to, sometimes Lord will put in my mind some sins that I've committed to remind me so I won't do them again. I'm glad they're under the blood. But sometimes God just wants to make a little reminder so we don't fall. The third one is the commitment he had made. Not only do we see here the painful reminder of his calling, Peter, don't walk away from it. It's okay to go fishing, but don't walk away from it. Now, the coals of fire, Peter, be careful. You'll get back to where you were. But of the commitment he had made over there, leave this portion for just a moment, and only got a couple minutes. Go to John 6. Go to John 6 real quick. You're there, close to it, so look there. And look with me by the way, you're familiar with the number 666, aren't you? Here's the 666 verse of the Bible. Look at it. For that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That is the 66 verse of the Bible, 636 of the Bible. Went back and walked no more. I like the number 7. It's a number of completeness. I don't want to go back to be a 6. But then notice here, then verse 67, then said Jesus to the 12, will you go also? Go away. Then here it is again. Guess who speaks up? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What precious words of commitment. No, Lord, I'm committed. Wonder, are you committed today? And Peter had made those statements, but then we find over here in John chapter 21 and verse 15, it was obvious something was wrong with his commitment. He had lost his commitment. Why would we follow anyone? Why would we leave you? That's an emblem of love. We'll be married 67 years here this year. 57. Oh, thank you, honey. I didn't think I looked old. I know you don't, but that old. 57. I'm glad she's committed her love to me and myself to her. Verse 15, So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? No one knows for sure what he meant by more. Did he love him more than fishing? Did he love him more than the other disciples? I don't know for sure what he meant. He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now Jesus used the highest form of the word love, agape. Peter answered him with the lower word, Lord, you're my friend. And so we find here he's reminding Peter the difference in the word here, hey, Peter, and he asks him three. Finally, the third time, guess what Jesus does? He get down on the level of Peter so Peter can get on the level of God. You know, that's what we find. Our Jesus put on human flesh, came down, but without sin, so we can get on God's level. Hallelujah for that. And just closing here, we find, look there in verse 17. He said unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now he uses the lower form of the word love, the same on Peter's level. Peter said that because he was grieved with himself. Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? But he sees that he changed the word. But look at verse 18. He says something to Peter. He predicts the death of Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, future tense, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee up and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He's predicting Peter's death. He was crucified. Anybody know how? Upside down. He said, I'm not worthy. You know why? Because I am not worthy. As Peter could not use that strong word for the word love, he used the lower word. There are times, folks, I'm very careful to say to God, God, I love you. The reason why I'm very careful with that is because I'm reminded how my actions sometimes show the difference. God is looking, you know, for God so loved the world is a word of what? Action. We need to love him the way he loved us. And oftentimes my actions do not show that. Maybe yours don't either. So I'm glad that Peter, through a passionate look, a personal message, a private meeting, and a painful reminder of things in the past. God bless you. Lord, thank you for our time together. In our Savior's name, amen.